Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. We're only going to cover five verses this morning. And remember this, the believers at Thessalonica, this was a model church, remember? It was a model church that was on fire for Jesus Christ. They had turned, these young believers without a New Testament, had turned the nation, Macedonia, Achaia, which is modern Greece, upside down for Jesus Christ. And the word of God had trumpeted or sounded forth from them. And they actually, Paul said, you have become an example for all the churches there in the European area. And they're certainly a model church for us today. So Paul the Apostle, on this great, great five verses that are really deeper than I think I even could even ever teach. Loved one, listen. Remember how we left off last time in chapter 2, verses, 13 and 14, with those seven incredible truths, our position in Christ Jesus, which enables us to be stable in an unstable world. Amen? All we have to do is apply those. But when we get to verse 1 and we look at what Paul says, he's closing everything out and he says, finally, brethren, pray for us. Pray for Timothy. Pray for Silas. Pray for Titus. We're all missionaries. We're all doing the work of the Lord. He says, oh, pray for us that the word of the Lord may what? Say it again. Run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, or just as it did when we preached the good news to you and all of you got saved. Listen, Paul the Apostle, this morning we're going to talk about finally, brethren. That's finally, that's us, brethren, sister and brethren. It says pray, and that's what we need to be doing. Paul the Apostle, when he was closing out, you know what I love about Paul? Is that we're seeing a true ministry. Amen? It's not like so many things that we see today. Listen, Paul didn't say, you know, finally, brethren, I'm closing out, be off the air in just a few minutes, but before I leave, let me just see this. If you'll send in your prayer support, you're one of my partners, I'm going to send you my brand new book, Postage Paid. Do you understand? I'm not mocking that or beating anybody up about that or any of those things, but he didn't do that. He says, listen, I need your prayers. Whenever Paul came into a town, he would go town to town and he would be proclaiming the good news of the gospel of Christ. Amen? When he came into a town, did they put him in the best hotels? No, he worked day and night making tents to support his own ministry and the ministry of others. Did he get a big honorarium? No, only the Philippians were the only people that really helped him and sent him any aid. Did he have a book table? I'm going to sign it. No, he didn't have any of those things. And when it was over, when he left Thessalonica, actually when he was chased out of town and had to go to Berea, the believers took him to Berea, remember, for his own safety. He didn't go to the Thessalonica International Airport and catch a jet and go to the next city, did he? Now, I'm being, of course, facetious. But, you know, I look at his ministry and he's writing from Corinth and he says, brethren, listen, finally, I'm closing this little epistle out. I've warned you that you're not in the great tribulation period and the day of the Lord, meaning the rapture, it hasn't happened yet. But he says, I need you to do something. I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray for us. Loved one, listen, did Paul believe in prayer? Did Paul believe that prayer was the work? Did Paul believe that his ministry was effective and became effective whenever other people prayed for him, even with all his giftings? Yes. Loved one, I look at that this morning and I say, oh Lord, how many books have we read on prayer? I bet you I have 50 books in my library just on prayer from all people from all over the world. How many sermons have you heard on prayer? How many of you prayed this morning? I say that not as a criticism, not even as a judgment, because the devil doesn't want you to pray. Whenever you were a young believer, remember how you prayed all the time and you were excited, and then as the years go by, your prayer life starts waning and waning and waning. Why is that? It's not really you. It's the forces around you. It's the way that your mindset becomes, or you become settled in your Christianity. Loved one, this is not a time to be settled, is it? This is a time for revolution. Do you understand? And I look at this and I say, oh, Lord, here they are, these young believers. They turned, man, their nation upside down for Jesus Christ. And Paul says to them, these on-fire believers, he says, I need your prayers. I want your prayers. Listen to me carefully. A Christian may never miss a Sunday service, a Wednesday service, may never miss any activities in the church, may serve in the church, may be a great tither, and you can even know your Bible inside and out, backwards and forwards. But if you don't pray, if you do not believe that prayer is vital, I love you, and God loves you, and you're saved, but you're not sound, meaning you're not healthy. You can't be healthy and not have a prayer life. You have to, there's a lot of things you can neglect in this life, but you cannot neglect prayer. You just cannot do it. Listen to me. If you're not praying, if you don't believe prayer is vital, you're not connected to the kingdom of God. Oh, you're a part of the kingdom of God, but you're not connected to the kingdom of God. If you're not praying, you're not even connected to the throne of grace, even though there's an open invitation in Jesus' name to come there. Amen? If you don't pray, if you don't have a quiet time every day, if you don't do those things, you're not connected to your homeland. You're citizens of heaven. One of my favorite parts of the movie E.T. was this, phone home. Remember that? Or is that movie too old for y'all? That's what you need to do. You need to phone home. And it's your homeland. This is not our home. Do you understand? We are believers. We're part of the kingdom of God. We're citizens of the greatest kingdom in the universe. You need to go to your homeland, and that means you're connected to your homeland. Finally, brethren, he says, pray for us. And look at his incredible request. He says, oh, pray that the word of the Lord may run swiftly. If it's in italics in your Bible, it means that the translators added it. It's not in the Greek, okay? It's not in the manuscripts. So let's read it the way it was. But the word of the Lord may run and be glorified just as it is with you. Now listen, did Paul say, he said, pray for me. But what did Paul say to pray for me about? Did he say to pray for me something personal? No, but look what he prayed for. He says, oh, listen, I pray that for the sake of the gospel. Remember, the Bible tells us that Paul, the gospel was entrusted to Paul. It says that the Thessalonians, they welcomed the gospel as the word of God, not the word of men. Remember? And here he says, listen, would you pray that the word of God, the good news of Jesus Christ, runs swiftly. Literally, it means to run in every direction, north, south, east, and west, and let it run quickly and spread all over the world. And then he used something else only found here in the New Testament. He said, and not only that, pray that the word of the Lord be what? Glorified. That means have a glorious welcome. Be received wherever it's preached, to be received just as it was with you. Listen carefully. I know in my spirit, as I put this message together, loved one, that it seems like 1st and 2nd Thessalonians has been just, even though we're teaching through, but it's a personal word for us, isn't it? I mean, it's almost like here we are in the year of revolution, if you will. This church, like I told you before, I'll declare it, I can't define it. We see the world and the mess that it's in. But here we are, and it seems like every chapter has to do with where God is taking us, doesn't he? And I say, oh, Lord, you see, we are in a season Remember, to everything there is a season, a purpose of God under heaven. Remember what a season is? A season is a fixed portion of time. And that portion of time, I believe, is 2022 through 2024. And I told you that we must have that revolutionary mindset, which that includes having a prayer life. Amen? Oh, listen, what will you do? I said a month or so ago, I said, what are we going to do when the American dream becomes the American nightmare? What are we going to do when everything that we know starts to fall apart in our nation? I pray it doesn't, but what if it does? What if the whole world starts falling apart? The whole world is on edge right now. China's on edge. They want Taiwan. Russia wants more. You know, Putin wants more than just the Ukraine. All the military in NATO is on high alert. Even right now, it would take just one stupid mistake to launch another war, a world war. Boy, you better be praying. We all need to be praying. Listen, you know, and if you're not praying, and that means this, you're not connected with the kingdom. Prayer is your connection. And you know what's wonderful? You should be saying this whenever you pray and you get, I sit in my chair, I have another chair across from me. I face that chair because that's where the Lord is, okay? I don't see him. But that's how I do it. And why not just when you pray, just say, you know what? I'm going to go home for a while. I'm going to go home. Just for a while. The Lord is there. I'm going to go pray to the Lord. Remember our scripture from Matthew 11:12. It says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Or literally, the believers make it their own. They seize it as a precious prize and possession. Revolution means that the church, us, we revolve only around one person, and that person is the head of the church, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's given us the keys of the kingdom. What are the keys? Remember, it's the gospel. We have the authority to unlock the door for lost people and say, enter into the door, and the door is Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. We have all of those things going right now for us. Man, listen, Jesus said in Luke 19:10, what did he say? He said, I have come to seek and save those who are lost. That's why he came. The Bible tells us in, what is it, 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, I think it is, God who desires all, every person to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen? Oh, listen, we have the keys that unlock all those doors, loved one. You know, Resurrection Sunday is only 6 weeks away. And I pray in Jesus' name, you already know who you're going to bring. I didn't say ask. You can ask a lot of people and they don't come. But how about the prodigals? Amen? I mean, that's the easiest time of year to get someone to come to church is Easter and Christmas. Get the prodigals, get the backsliders, get the lost, and just say, come. You know, we're going to have free gifts or salvation. And they can come, amen? So I hope that you're playing, because the barn is going to be all open. The cafe is going to be open. We're going to set everything up. We normally, before pre-COVID, we always had about 1,000 people show up for Easter. Let's have that again in Jesus' name, amen? And we always have people that come to Christ. Now, with all that being said, Paul said, I want you to pray that the gospel is running, that it runs swiftly, that it spreads. What is hindering the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? What is preventing it from running swiftly throughout DFW, Fort Worth, whatever? You know what it is? You know what's hindering it? It's just not the wicked one. He's got it made. No, it's the church. Do we have churches on every corner? There's one there, there's one, well, not down there, but you know what I'm saying. They're all over the place. Not only that, we have Christian TV, we have Christian radio, we have internet, you know, you can get whatever. And here we are, we've been entrusted, like Paul was entrusted, with the gospel. Jesus said in Mark 1:17 to the disciples when he called them, he said, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. And that's what we are. We are fishers of men. We're ambassadors of Christ. We're the good soldiers of Christ Jesus. Listen to me. Time is short. We're closer to the return of Christ Jesus than any generation in history. Amen? Could happen today. Time is short. Times are bad. And it is time. Loved one, I pray that God puts that on your heart. It is time. It is time to pray, for we have entered into a season where the Lord is doing something. The Lord is doing something for us. We've entered into a season where the gospel is about to start running swiftly for a season again. And there's only one way that can happen and only one way to advance, and we must advance on our knees. We must go to our prayer closets. Does that make sense? We have to start praying. Remember what I said? Jesus said, seek first, right? The kingdom of God. James 4:2 says this, we have not because we ask not. What about the command? What are we going to do with the command in 1 Thessalonians, was it 5, 17, 18, 16, 14, 15, right there? Pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean to pray every second, but it means that you do pray. Pray without ceasing. Do you find yourself, okay, well, I did my duty, I had my quiet time. Do you not pray throughout the day? I find myself praying all the time. You know what I mean? Crying out to God for many, many different things. And I say, oh, Lord, oh, listen, oh, we want the word of God to go swiftly. Listen, we have been saved. We were singing a minute ago about the cross. Amen? Well, we've been saved by the cross. Why don't we take up the cross? Luke 9:23, Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And that's what we're to be doing. That's why it is time. I cannot tell you how important this is. It is time that the tent ministry now explodes. Do you know that we have the tent ministry now? I think Dan was telling me, I don't know if it was New Mexico or Arizona. We have just another email. I gave it to Dan yesterday. Was it yesterday? No, it was Friday. It doesn't matter when. I had another email from a lady that used to go to church here. She hadn't been here about 10 years. She's in Louisiana. I want all the information I can on a tent call free, because we want them down there. Not only that, we have tent in Georgetown, Texas, and we have them in other places. I can't remember where. Because listen, do you know that that's something that could go national? Do you understand? It's so easy. It's such a draw. Whenever people see free, they're greedy. Come on, they see it on the tent. You can just come right up. What's free? Prayer. Can I pray for you? Do you understand? Dan and them, again, they're going to be right there in the main lobby. Just go talk to them. Don't worry. They're not going to force you to sign up. Just go talk to them. Amen. Now look at verse 2. It says, Paul says, and I want you to do something else. I want you to pray that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For not all have faith, or literally, not all have the faith. Not everyone is a believer, is what Paul is saying. So there's wicked men then, there's wicked men today. That word literally means perverse men that come against the good news of Jesus Christ. They don't want it to be spread. They don't want it to run swiftly across any nation or around any people. And he says, not all have faith. But look at verse 3. Not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. And look what he will do, our faithful God who loves the sheep. Look what he does, who will establish you. Did you know that God is faithful? The word establish means to strengthen you. Oh, that's a good word. Do you know I need his strength every day? I need his strength right now. It says he's faithful to make you strong. He's faithful to make you stable in this world. And look at the next one. And to protect or guard you from evil. The evil one. That's the devil. Amen. So God says, I'm protecting you. I'm faithful to guard you from evil men and the evil one. We are living in an unstable world with unstable people who have not the faith, but the Lord is faithful. Listen, nothing, No person, no government, no anyone can stop the faithfulness of God. Do you understand that? No one can stop God's faithfulness, no matter how unfaithful this world is. Jesus even said, when I return, when I come back, will I find faith? The word find there means when Jesus comes there, he says, will I find it? He's searching every corner. And he won't find faith. No. He won't find love either. Oh, loved one, listen. Boy, this is our hour. And this is our time. And Paul says, listen, I have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you will do the things we command you. So Paul doesn't have trust in them. He doesn't have confidence in them. He has confidence in the Lord who is working in them. Amen. And that's what he says. And you know what? I have confidence in you, in this church, that the Lord is working in you to will and do his good pleasure. Amen. Now, verse 5. We've already covered this before, but let's look at it again. Now may the Lord direct, clear away every obstacle. May the Lord direct or guide your hearts, look where, into the love of God. Not our love for God, into God's love for us. And into the patience or the steadfast endurance of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who's coming for us, that we endure, we keep working and waiting until he takes us home. Amen? Now, so many things are after the heart of the church, the believers in the church today. So many voices out there. Listen, there's only one voice that we can follow, and that is the voice of the Good Shepherd. Amen? Now, with all that being said, Paul prayed. He's concluding this prayer, and he says, oh, listen. He says, I want God to guide your hearts into a deeper understanding of God's love. How is that realized? How does that happen? May I tell you where it happens at? In the prayer room, in the closet. Listen, when you know the prayer is a dialogue, not a monologue. Whenever the Spirit of God in prayer time speaks to you, does that change you? Does that energize you? Does that give you assurance? Does it tell you that, yes, I knew you're real, but you're real. Come on. Man, you're going directly. God is love. You're going directly to him, into the throne of grace. Oh, listen, you know, do you remember that what I told you a few sermons back, that whenever Jesus said, seek first, that was only found one time in the entire Bible. Remember that? And not only that, Jesus, do you remember when Jesus never said, seek first about anything else but one thing, and what is that? The kingdom. He says in Matthew 6:32 and 33, he says, for all these things, Jesus said, the Gentiles, meaning lost people, those that are outside the covenant of God, he says, oh, they seek, for your heavenly Father, he knows that you need all these things. God, we don't have to worry, do we? He knows what we need. But seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Listen, prayer has become in America the most neglected spiritual discipline in the believer's life. Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank you. Now I want you to listen to me now very carefully. That means if you are not praying, or if it's just a mechanical prayer. You know, I have prayer list, and then once my prayer list is over, I go praying into the Spirit. Does that make sense? And I let the whatever the Lord pulls up in people to pray for and so forth. And I was praying for a lot of different people this morning. And here's the thing. If you're not progressing in prayer, you are failing to progress. You are failing. You're failing to go from glory to glory, which is the same as being backslidden. Ooh, that didn't go over very well. I'm very serious this morning. I'm telling you, it's time. It is time to pray like you have never prayed. It's time to go to the throne of grace because you can. Loved one, it is time where we have to say, I'm going to do something. I'm going to obey a command in Scripture. I'm going to be now, with all of my shortcomings, with all of my failings, with all of my whatever's wrong with me, but there's nothing wrong with Jesus, amen? Whatever it might be, I'm going to be a man, I'm going to be a woman, I'm going to be a teenager, I'm going to be a person who is now devoted to prayer. Did you know that's a command? It's a command. Colossians 4:2, let me read it to you. It says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant. In other words, stay awake, be alert, spiritually alert. It says, with thanksgiving. Boy, that's a great attitude. Have you ever noticed how many times thanksgiving is mentioned in our, the prayers that we pray? You know what I mean? In the Bible? Oh, thanksgiving's always in there. And it says, with it in thanksgiving. Okay, the word earnestly, Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly. The word earnestly means devote. It means devotion. It means to be devoted. The word literally in the Greek means this, to continue to do something, meaning prayer, with intense effort to persist in it. Jesus said the same thing, Luke 18:1. Men ought always to what? Pray. And not faint, not give up, never become discouraged. Don't ever quit is what Jesus said. This is devotion to prayer. In other words, it's ongoing. It's regular. It's systematic. And it's a regular activity, meaning it is now a spiritual discipline in your life. Listen, whenever you are devoted to something, it means that you spend time with that. Is that correct? So devotion means time. You know, I don't have any hobbies. I don't know what I'm devoted to really, except I know I'm devoted to the Lord. You know what I mean? But I don't go hunting. I don't go fishing. And I wish I could do those things, but I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm a boring person, okay? The most fun I have is when I'm talking with Mario and Rhonda. I mean, it's a highlight of my day. You know what? I mean, I don't have any hobbies. Sitting in my lazy boy is probably I'm devoted to that. But when you're devoted to something, you spend a lot of time with that. Isn't that right? You know, there are people that play golf, that love golf. You know what I'm saying? I don't play golf. I used to play golf a long time ago. I mean, a long time ago. I don't even know how to keep score in golf anymore. But boy, people who play golf, I mean, they probably have a putter in their office, and their whole house is probably a course. They've got little cups all over. And they can't wait to get on the course. Do you understand? That's devotion, man. They spend all the time. Now, there's some of you here, and I'm saying this in love. Don't send me an email. If you're going to email anybody, do it with thomas@loveneverfails.com. Some of you, some of you adult guys, listen to me. You do those video games. You know, and you play games with people. I didn't know this. You can play games with people all over the world. I didn't know that. Did you all know that? Yeah, I mean, you can, like, I'm playing a guy over in Africa right now, and here's Australia, and I'm going to beat you down. And I don't know. I've never played, and I'm not going to. Some of you, you know, you spend time watching all these crazy movies, you know, and all the rest of it, hours and hours. Well, you're devoted to that. But are you devoted to prayer? How much time do you spend in prayer? I'm talking about really praying. I'm talking about shutting your door. I'm talking about going into your closet. I'm talking about getting alone and saying, I am going to pray. I don't know how you feel about this, but I consider prayer to be the greatest privilege in my life. Listen, I can go to the throne of grace. I can go to my Father in heaven 24/7 anytime. Amen? And listen, I mean, I can go there. The Creator, think about this. He made it all. He knows everything. I can go to Him anytime and get a hold of Him. You know what? I was on the line to telephone the other day, you know, with Enterprise, a car rental to cancel something. You know how long I was on there? Hours. If finally, I called them back, and I couldn't take it anymore. I mean, I tried for 2 days. Called them back, and it says, you know, punch one if you want to rent a car, punch two if you want that, you know. And so I just said, okay, I want to rent a car. Punch, I got somebody immediately. And I said, don't hang up on me. I said, I want to cancel a car. Do you understand me? You know, man, I mean, never mind. It's a personal problem. No, it's a privilege. Listen, why is it a privilege? Can you call the president of the United States? Does he, huh? Can you get right through? How about Governor Abbott? No. You know what? God hears. The creator of all things hears you. I don't know how, I think about that. Oh, dear God, he hears me when I pray. 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. Listen, I had the ear of Almighty God this morning. Do you understand? Does that still move you? No, come on. Is that just only head knowledge in your Christian? Is it just head knowledge? Yeah, God hears me. Or is it heart knowledge? God, you hear me. You hear me when I pray. Isaiah 29:13, Jesus quoted this in the Gospels. It says, inasmuch as these people, they draw near me with their mouths. In other words, in prayer. They honor me with their lips, God says, meaning in prayer. But they have removed their hearts far from me. Psalm 78:36 says, I was reading this in my quiet time this morning, they flattered God with their mouth and they lied to him with their tongue in prayer. Ian Bounds said this, devotion engages the heart of prayer. It's not an easy task for the lips to try to pray while the heart is absent from it. Without devotion, prayer is empty, a vain round of words. Sad to say, much of the kind of prayer today prevails in the church. What is worse than to go to prayer with a heart that's absent from God? Do you understand? I say, oh Lord, God hears me when I pray. His ears are open. 2 Chronicles 7:14, the great prayer of Solomon, which we can all pray because we belong to God. He says, if my people who are called by my name, remember that prayer? He says, if they will do something, he says, if they will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, here it comes. God says, I will what? Hear. Do you understand? The creator of everything, he says, I'm going to hear. He says, I'm going to hear from heaven. I'm going to forgive the sin. I'm going to heal the land. James 4:8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Psalm 86:5, for you, Lord, you're good. You're ready to forgive, abundant in love to all those who call upon you, meaning who pray. In the day of my trouble, I didn't fall apart. In other words, the psalmist is saying, he says, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon you. And then he says, and here's the reason. He says, for God, you will answer me. God hears our prayers. His ears are open unto us. God not only hears our prayers, listen to me, God responds to our prayers. Remember what Jesus said, this from the lips of our Lord. He said in Matthew 7:7, he says, ask and it shall be given. That's a promise. Something you do. It's a command. Keep on asking and it will be given. Seek, you'll find. Knock, the door will be opened unto you. You ready for this? For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. Him who knocks, it'll be open. Or what man is there among you if his son asks for bread? Will he give him a stone? You don't do that, do you? He says, or if he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then being evil, talking about fathers, the contrast here, father in heaven and fathers on earth. It says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who what? Ask him. Did you have a quiet time this morning? You have to. No. You're commanded to, not by a pastor, not by a church body, but by Almighty God. He wants to hear from you. He wants to respond to you. Does that make sense? Oh, listen, you need to be connected, loved one. And you know, God says, just ask me. You know, and if you're not praying, here's the problem. I'm not talking about mechanical praying or just, okay, went through my list, I've done my duty. I'm talking about prayer. If you are not praying, communication with the throne room has been disconnected. Does that make sense? Listen, you have to have communication or you don't know what you're doing. Communication with the throne room, the throne of grace, is our top priority. Colossians 3:1, that's where Christ is. Amen? Oh, listen, you know, look at the war that's going on. How do you think, you see all those missiles that are going over there? Well, how do you think they hit a target? I mean, we have the most powerful missiles in the world, and they're worthless unless somebody's telling them where to hit the target at. Is that right? Well, it's the same thing with us. If we're not going to the throne of grace, we're disconnected. Communication has been completely broken down. That's headquarters, loved one. That is our homeland. And Satan will do anything to break communication. Anything to cause you to stop or limit your prayer time. He doesn't want you connecting with the kingdom of God. He doesn't want you connecting with the throne of grace. And he definitely doesn't want you to connect with what we call home. He doesn't want that. There's constant warfare in prayer. You ever notice how hard it is to pray? It is hard to pray. Because the powers of darkness, they don't want you to ever pray. Man, oh no. Listen, that battle. Did you know that prayer is part of our armor? Remember, let me read it to you. 6:18 of Ephesians. It says, praying always with all kinds of prayer. Supplication, it tells us, in the Spirit. Being watchful or stay awake to this end with all perseverance, all supplication for all the saints. In other words, praying for all the saints of God because we have a real enemy. We're in a real war with a real fallen, defeated devil. Amen. Listen, Satan doesn't want you to offer up one prayer in your prayer closet, one prayer in your home, because you know what? He thinks this is all his territory. Do you understand? Don't you offer a prayer in my territory. I'm the God of this age. I, the whole world lies in the sway of my arms, the devil says. 1 John 5:18-19. No, listen. He doesn't want one prayer. He hates it. He hates when you pray, especially when you pray in the Spirit, loved one. Listen, I'm going to tell you, prayer is always the most neglected discipline in the American church until problems arise. Oh, then you're going to pray. You know, listen, Satan's schemes are designed to wear you down, to exhaust you, to wear you out emotionally and spiritually and so forth. Satan doesn't want you communicating with God in prayer. He doesn't believe if you believe in prayer. He doesn't care if you talk about prayer as long as you don't have a prayer life. Have you ever noticed how, for example, let's say that you get up in the morning and you like to read the newspaper on your laptop, or I don't know if they throw them anymore or something. You know what I mean? You ever notice how easy it is to read the paper? No, come on. And you're just into it. Or how easy it is to watch the evening news. You're into it. You sit there. But if you go to prayer, then there's a problem. All of a sudden your mind starts going crazy. You start thinking about all the things you should be doing. You start thinking, okay, I don't have enough time. I got to do this today. You know, I can come to the office and handle all these kind of business problems. I don't have a problem. Well, some people think I do. But when I have to pray, are you all following me? That's when the attack comes. Well, you have to just recognize that that is an attack and not worry about it. And you know why you're being attacked? Because the devil, he fears a Christian that will go to the throne of grace because he knows who is there. The one who has all power and all authority in heaven and upon the earth. He knows who is there. It is the one who defeated him and is sitting at the right hand of God. Amen. The one who paid for our sins, the sins of the world. He'll do anything to discourage you, loved one, from prayer. He'll do anything to limit your time at the throne of grace. He fears the throne of grace. You know why? Because he knows what is available to every believer who is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. And here's the reason, that we may obtain mercy. We get it. We can get mercy. Not for salvation, we're already saved. And find grace and help in time of need. We are the only people on the earth that have access to the throne room of God, and we can come without condemnation. Do you understand? We are in Christ Jesus our Lord. We come by, there's only one way to get to the throne of grace. How's the only way to get? Somebody tell me, what's the only way you can go to the throne of grace? No, well, that's right, but how's the only way? Thank you. That's Sammy. No humor up here today. Don't worry, I don't have anything but allergies. And they're actually getting better. But that's another story. Now, where was I? There's only one way to go to the throne of grace. Amen? Prayer. But there's only one person. Jesus. Let me give you the scripture. Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness, meaning in Jesus, not self, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Listen, everything we need is there. If you're not communicating with the throne of grace, if you're not going home and praying, I'm telling you something, you got a problem, because all power is there. All your provision is there. All wisdom is there. Amen. Do you have a need? Are you worn out? Are you tired? Go there. Do you need forgiveness? Go there. Do you need hope? Go there. Do you understand? Prayer, loved one, is the work. The violent take it by force. We seize the throne of grace. How? By appropriating the promises of God by faith. God doesn't lie. We can go there. We have to wake up. I'm telling you, the hour is closer than we think. It is high time for the church to wake up out of our sleep. We have to devote ourselves to prayer. It's a command, loved one, to do that. God wants to speak with you, and you need to be speaking with him. The burden of prayer has to fall on the American church. I'm telling you, it has to fall on this church. You know what Paul the Apostle did when he ended that what he was praying there in Ephesians? You know what he requested? Let me tell you what he requested. Paul, he says, listen, would you pray for me? There he is again. Would you pray for me? What did he want the Ephesians to pray for him for? Listen, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, and that I may speak boldly. What? That's all Paul wanted. He said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Oh, listen, Paul, once again, as he does in all of his letters, it becomes personal. Oh, would you just pray for me? He's in prison there in Ephesus. Prayer doesn't know any distance, loved one. Just pray for me. Here he is, writer, one-third of the New Testament, dear Lord, been to heaven, missionary, raised the dead, and he says, pray for me. Doesn't pray that I need to be released from prison, none of those things. He just said, pray for me. It's embarrassing how far we've drifted away from the early church, isn't it? I know this. We, the church, must be about the Lord's business and not the world's business. We're new creations in Christ Jesus. We have God's grace. We have God's promises. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. No one can stop you from praying but you. That's it. Don't blame time or any of the, No one can stop you but praying but you. I'm asking you to be obedient to the Lord. I'm asking every Christian connected with Calvary Chapel, all of you that are listening live, will you devote yourself to prayer? Right now, will you devote yourself? In the morning when you wake up, say, I set my alarm. I'm going to have a quiet time. I'm going to go into my closet, shut the door, turn out the lights, be alone with the Lord. Will you do that? You know, the early church, did you know that every believer in the early church, were they devoted? Oh my gosh, when they started getting saved, remember in Acts 2:42, here's what they did. They continued that 3,000, they continued steadfastly. That word means they were devoted. They continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. They were devoted to God's word. Peter and them teaching God's word. They were devoted to fellowship. They were devoted one to another. They were devoted to the breaking of bread, the Lord's table from house to house. But they were devoted to prayer. And listen to the fruit of that kind of devotion. In Acts 2:43, it says, and then fear, meaning an incredible sense of awe. Fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles in their. That's what it does. You know, listen, see, there's a part of me, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, but there's a part of me that says, we're going to meet every day at 6 a.m. for prayer right here, and then we're going to have breakfast, okay? And I'm not saying it's going to happen, so don't say, oh, that sounds pretty good, the breakfast. No, talking about prayer. But could you imagine if we did that? Could you imagine maybe if we opened the barn up all day long, people say, I'm just going to go pray. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be devoted to prayer. Something has to break, loved one. And with all that being said, I don't know who's here this morning. I don't know who's listening live. But I want to say this. If you don't know Christ Jesus as Lord, you need to come to Him and you need to do it now. You know why? Because time is short. And not only that, He loves you. Boy, it's my prayer that the gospel, the good news of Christ, has ran swiftly into your heart. And I'm not even going to ask for heads to be bowed right now because I'm not through. But I'm going to say, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and you never ask Him to be the Lord of your life, here's what I want you to do. And here's what Jesus wants you to do because He died for you. He wants you to lift your hand. You don't have to come down here. He just wants you. Yes, I saw that hand. Get anyone else, lift that hand so I can see it. I'm old and can't see that well. Anyone else? Come on. Listen, this is your day. Anyone else, just lift your hand and put it right back down. He said, Jesus is not my Lord. Any young people, Jesus is not my Lord. Then the one who lifted their hands, I don't know if any others back there. Anyone, was there someone back there? You pray this prayer with me right now. Church, you help me. Say, Father, today, the Word of God, the Gospel, the good news, ran swiftly into my heart. And right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised Him from the dead. You promised if I would believe this and confess Jesus as my Lord, you would save me. I believe. Save me now. In Jesus' name, I am saved. Amen. Amen. Now listen very carefully. D.L. Moody said this. And you know, if you've ever read the life of D.L. Moody, what an incredible man. D.L. Moody said, every great movement of God can be traced to a kneeling figure. Let me read that again. Every great movement of God can be traced to a kneeling, meaning prayer, figure. What a word. Listen, those that lifted your hands I'm going to be departing in just a moment over to the main lobby. I have a booklet entitled, Welcome to the Family of God. If you prayed online, you can email me at info@loveneverfails.com, and I'll mail that book out to you. Make sure you give me your address. We're going to do something, and then after this video that you're going to watch is over, there'll be people down here to pray with you as well. God is good. I want you to just listen. It's only 3 minutes. And after it's over, you're completely dismissed. Amen? Isn't it a great day at Calvary? Isn't it a great day to know that Jesus Christ is our Lord? Amen? I love you dearly. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Listen, and then you're dismissed.